It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Daniel Pryor is here with me. I'm Mark Holland, and we are ready to tackle another just very interesting subject this week, something that if you're married, it's something that you want to have more information about. It's what kind of personalities in marriage make marriage just about impossible,
and
hopefully changing some of those. I mean, you're born with a personality to a degree, but that's kind of the goal of counseling and self-help is to get better. And
help those mesh, and that's what we're trying to do in relationships. Personalities, we're talking about personalities and the personalities that make marriage seem almost impossible, and that's not an exaggeration. Any person that's been in counseling for any period of time knows that it's very difficult to help people with what we call personality disorders. And in fact, your insurance companies won't even really pay for counseling for personality disorders because by definition, they can't be changed. But they can be changed. But boy, it takes work and it takes a long time. And
Is this going to be helpful for people who are getting ready to maybe get married and they want to make sure that the person they're getting ready to marry is on this list?
If you're ready, getting ready to get all the information you can if you're getting ready to get married. Personality disorders are not just freak things off there for other people because we all have personalities. And a personality disorder is a person that's just a tick a further to the left or right than I am. Personalities, though, are what make human life, it's what human life is all about, and they're absolutely essential for what you call person beinghood. There's not a being without a personality. And they're also what make beinghood difficult. Personality conflict is largely really the nature of relationship. And when personalities become what we call disordered, then the relationship is, you know, frankly, at a standstill. And it's a lot of work and very little reward, seems like. So I think it's interesting and important for people to realize as we start off here, lay a foundation when we're talking about personality disorders, because we don't want people to be to feel totally overwhelmed by this, that all of our personalities are defense mechanisms. That is, and we've talked about this on the show before, our behaviors as human beings, our basic nature is to defend myself, safety and security. And so that means a lot of our, most if not all of our behaviors, our conscious behaviors at least, are to protect not only my physical body, but myself, my soul identity. And so these are defense mechanisms. Yeah.
That's
and
normal.
Personalities are these clusters of behaviors and learned behaviors and that are so deeply ingrained in us as individuals, but they are defense mechanisms. They're how I relate to other people in order to feel valued, to feel that I have control of things that are going to affect me, and to feel that I have resources. We've talked about value, control, and power in a lot of the previous broadcasts. So as far as personalities are concerned, we all have one, and some are get along with people better than others. But basic coping and managing tools can facilitate the meshing of personalities for really a wonderful relational experience, which is what we're all after. So we can go and we can read self-help books or go for counseling or just sit down and talk with the spouse and just basic communication tools and managing tools and those kinds of things that we can come up with on our own. My wife and I came up with an interesting one where I was dominating conversations with companies. So we sat next to one another and she would tap my foot when I started to talk too much. And then I got my own show and I can talk all I want. We can come up with those on our own. And these basic tools, as I say, can help to mesh our personality so that we have just a great experience. But if it's a personality, what we call personality disorder, those basic tools don't seem to work. And so if your spouse, am I married to someone with a personality disorder? Could be. If your spouse is not, just cannot or will not reason. And I'm not talking about sometimes. I'm talking about continually.
That's their MO.
They will not reason. They will not understand. He or she will not change, will not talk, or will not stop talking, will not listen, et cetera, et cetera. You get the picture. We'll go over some of these in a minute, but you may be married to someone with what we would term a personality disorder. Mm. Personality disorders result from people for whom the fear and shame factors are excessively deep. As I said, personalities are defense mechanisms, and so they are responses to fear and shame. Mm. My personality is my response to fear and shame. Simply put, personality disorders are a response to excessive fear and excessive shame. So these come out of people who have probably very traumatic family upbringings in the history somewhere. So they have very, very entrenched and excessive defense mechanisms. Mm. And so we call
them personality disorders. So let's get into some of these personality disorders, high-pointing some of these. You've got these arranged into cluster A, cluster B, and cluster C.
Right. And some of these people will recognize some of these. Cluster A, those are roughly defined as odd and eccentric personalities, and they are associated with schizophrenia a lot, although you don't have to be a schizophrenic to have, for example, the first one is paranoid personality, and I've had clients with paranoid personality.
Fantasy to eccentric, lonely mm-hmm. to schizoid, mm-hmm. distortion or delusion to paranoid are some of the things. Projective identification and a projection of guilt, to blaming mm-hmm. somebody else all the time. Yeah. So those are kind of the main qualities.
Yeah, and again, it's pervasive. You know,
everybody can do some of this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is pervasive.
This is pervasive. Uh-huh. Yeah, and so I recalled a client that I had years ago where I was talking to the husband. The wife arrived a few minutes later. I was talking to the husband, and he just brought up the question, and he said, did they always have trouble with marriage even before counselors? And so I was talking a little bit about the history of the marriage institution in other cultures. And his wife stepped in as I was mentioning slaves and concubines, and she stopped right there and said, excuse me, did I just hear you give my husband permission to have a concubine? So in trying to straighten that out, there was just no resolving that idea in her head. And so she finally, stomped out of the session. Paranoid personality disorder. There were a lot of other things, a lot of other cues. It was not just that one, but it was this thing that had separated them for a number of years. And
but did he have a concubine? And maybe that's why she was so mad at him.
No, he didn't.
He didn't. Okay.
No, he didn't. So there's that, and then there's schizoid personality disorder, and this schizotypical social detachment, doesn't enjoy social interaction, chooses solitary activities, no interest in, for example, sex, takes no pleasure in activities, indifferent to praise and criticism, those kinds of things. And then the schizotypical is similar to that, but it's also a little bit peculiar and odd. It can range off into hallucinations a bit and superstitions and
Well, now, I know you're not a big fan of medication, but this sounds like somebody who might benefit from some medication.
I say everybody can benefit from medication. And when I talk about, I a lot of times will, particularly as far as Christians are concerned, but other people as well, I like to, when I'm working with a person, let's try to explain the situation. First of all, let's try to rule out all the natural things we can do. A person that's not surrounded, that doesn't have friends, that doesn't have community, that doesn't have a support system is going to experience a lot of depression and anxiety. Mm-hmm. But rather than get a pill, let's first see if we can work on the support system and then you don't need that. So I just think that medication should not be the first stop.
Okay.
Ever.
All right.
The second cluster is one that we're probably more familiar with. Hollywood's done a lot with this, and so has political arena. We've got histrionics, narcissistics, borderline personality, and antisocial behavior. And these are personalities that I would say probably the basic characteristic here is that these personalities go from inflexibility and insensitivity to emotional instability. So you're all over the, you either have flat affect, flat emotions, or they're all over the place, or you have very narrow tunnel vision in terms of your behaviors, or at the other end extreme, your behaviors are all over the place. So you've got the histrionics, which are very self-centered, and they have
to be... This is somebody who's just very emotional.
Very emotional.
Just totally driven by emotion.
It's totally driven by emotion, but they're very theatric, and it's all, mm-hmm. it's always got to be about them. They're easily influenced, shallow, attention-seeking, inappropriately seductive sometimes, preoccupied with physical attractiveness, those kinds of things. Narcissistic, of course, it's always has to be right. Excessive admiration, sense of entitlement, exploitive, envious,
special and unique. Now, narcissism could be, you could almost blanket the whole generation, this millennial generation. This is one of their main characteristics that people are concerned about.
Yeah. Well, the histrionic too. I mean, you get a lot of that's why Hollywood is so popular, and YouTube and Facebook and virtual reality, and then the borderline very impulsive personality. Act without regard for conscious consequences. Quarrelsome behavior. You know, it's the I love you, or you're never there when you should be there, you're always there when you shouldn't be there. When you're here, I hate you. When you're there, I love you, you should have been there. So you can't do anything right with the borderline personality.
I would say this
disorder.
Cluster B is almost the norm in secular society.
This is what we see most of.
Yeah.
And the antisocial concern for no one else's feelings.
But this is a personality disorder that's going to make any marriage difficult.
Right.
Yeah.
And the thing is about these that, as we'll see, that there are some common ground for all these personality disorders that we're going to address, and that's what makes them impossible. And then finally, cluster C, anxious or fearful personalities, and so these are either isolated or passive aggressive. So you have the avoidant personality behavior, staying away, staying recluse, because suspicious, those kinds of things. You have the compulsive, obsessive compulsive personality disorders, and then you have dependent personality disorders. And if people want to read more about the personality disorders, all you have to do is Google personality disorders, and you'll see cluster A, B, and C, and you get to read all this stuff. But the danger of that is what you don't want to do with the personality disorders is say, that's over with in the nutso group and got nothing to do, because we all have these, we all have these traits.
Sure.
It's just the personality, quote unquote, disorders, they're accentuated because of the depth of fear and shame. And so they get in the way of personality, or relationships.
Well, interesting discussion, the personality disorders and how they contribute to problems in marriage, and how to maybe change some of these patterns, these personality disorders, and become more ordered in our personal lives so that we can actually be a productive marriage and married person. If you need help in this area, Daniel Pryor loves to help marriages. And Daniel, how do people get in touch with you?
Call me at phone numbers 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169, or I can be emailed to the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay, we'll return with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland, looking at the personalities that don't work well in marriage, and can we change that so that we can have better marriages, be better people? Talking with Daniel Pryor, of course, today on the Sound Mind broadcast. And first of all, you want to talk about what personality disorders all have in common.
Right. Now, during the break, everyone has Googled personality disorders, so they got those memorized. So I want to just narrow it down, say what they have in common. This is really what we're dealing with in all of these, to some extent or other. First of all, lack of empathy. Personality disorders cannot understand or appreciate the other person's point of view. When there's a conflict, when there's a conflict, the other person's behavior is always the main cause for personality disorder. There's a conflict in a marriage, the personality disordered person always sees the other person's always And again, I want to mark this out, that personality disorder, what defines a personality disorder, is not that there are problems sometimes, but as it is constant. They cannot appreciate the other person's point of view. They'll listen to it, and they might even say, okay, well, I see your point of view, but...
Right, if you just were like me.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so where there's conflict, the other person's behavior is always the main cause. So the personality disorder's behavior is a response, a justifiable response to the other person's behavior. When I talk of empathy, they can't empathize. Empathy is standing in the other person's path. I say, when you're empathizing with another person, their behavior makes enough sense that you say, well, maybe I'm the one that's wrong. If you're empathizing with the other person, you're standing in their path and you're taking on their perspective to the place where you begin to question your own rigid point of view, and you're beginning to say, maybe I'm not completely right if I stand in there. It doesn't mean that you're wrong, but at least you've taken the position to where you can question your and make change.
It doesn't always have to be either or. It
no.
can be both and.
Sure,
that's so important.
Another one is the detached reality. They are self-absorbed. They are egocentric. They are the center of meaning. The personality disorder's response to a reality, they respond to a reality that is entirely their own. If you can't agree with their point of view or accept their behavior, it's your fault. It's your error because their reality makes perfect sense to them. And again, it's not. This is not an infrequent thing. It is a consistent thing. They see their opinions as ipso facto. I mean, you know, I said it, therefore it must be true. And even if no one else agrees, their opinion, their perspective, they see as a universal opinion and a universal perspective. So they're a detached reality. And finally, the lack of boundaries. Personality disordered people have boundary issues. Well, serious. We all have boundary issues.
Sure.
But they have serious prohibitive boundary issues, unyielding boundary issues in thought, word, and deed.
And what do you mean, for a general description, what do you mean by boundaries? What are boundaries?
Boundaries are the rules I live by. And so a lot of times we think of boundaries as if I can't say no to people, that's a boundary issue. But boundary issues can also be, you know, I'm not getting out enough. I'm not getting enough exercise. I need to be more ordered in my exercise routine. That's a boundary too. Boundaries are the rules that we live by. Personality disorders the rules that they live by don't work in personalities. They're either they're either much too rigid or they're much too fluid. And they don't seem to be able to observe other people's behavior and realize that that's the behavior that would also work for me.
So maybe not be lack of boundaries, but just boundaries that are out
boundary
of whack.
Issues.
Boundary
right.
issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because somebody can have a major boundary. Yeah. I says, I will not go there, but they need to go there, you know, or whatever it is.
So they repeat offenses. I've had marriage situations where there's a person who just won't quit having affairs. Won't quit arguing, or they're hostile, they're self-centered, they're insensitive. Chronic obtuseness, I don't know if you've known people, I've known people, I had clients where it's as though they have blinders on. They can't appreciate the way their behavior is affecting other people. They don't see that. They only see how other people are affecting them, but they're not able to turn that around. So lack of boundaries. Okay, here's the
big
question.
Is there help?
Is there help?
Can you change personality disorders?
Mm-hmm. A lot of people believe you can't. As we said earlier, insurance companies
won't even pay for that.
That's an access
to. So that can be an actual clinical diagnosis. You have a personality disorder.
That's diagnosed on access to in diagnosis, and those the insurance company won't pay for. Access 3 is medical. Access 2 is that. Chronic access one are the things that they'll pay for, anxiety, depression, those kinds of things. Personality disorders, they say, that's something that won't change. Well, personalities, since they are defense mechanisms, you know, you can imagine they're difficult to change. And particularly, so the defense mechanisms are a response to fear and shame. And we've said that personality disorders are people who have deeply entrenched fear and shame come from a lot of trouble in their background, and so dropping those defenses is life-threatening, and so it can take years. But here's what the treatment would look like. And there can be professional or non-professional treatment, but I warn you to really consider professional treatment, good professional treatment, and that might not be easy to find either. As I said, a lot of professionals have a worldview that excludes the Christ's likeness and those kinds of things.
The power to change through Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times professionals will want to include a medication. Again, for Christians, I'd say, that should not be the first stop. But number one, what's going to be needed is the person with a personality disorder, since it's fear and shame-based and it's a defense mechanism, the person that speaks into their life, they are going to have to trust. And that could be a therapist or a companion. The pros and cons, the pros of companionship are, it's easier to build trust with a companion. The con to that is these can be hurtful processes, and they can destroy relationships that are there. And
what do you mean by a companion? You mean like in a small group that's non-professional?
Or a close friend even.
Okay.
I say a close friend because people who are close friends with personality disordered people are – there's a caveat on that for close friend. The person with the personality disorder might consider you you're their best friend, but you're probably hoping that they didn't, because those are very stressful.
Yes.
There's a lot of hard work in that relationship, but maybe they have a person that's willing to walk through that with them, but it's a hard road, and that's the downside of it. So a professional can stay professionally distant as long as that person trusts them. Number two, it's long-term. It's long-term counseling or therapy, frequent counseling, or continuous accountability. The thing of the counseling is accountability. That's kind of what it's about. The accountability and where the trust factor certainly comes in is because the counselor or the person that's trying to effect a change has to be able to point out the errors again and again and again. It's like, for teaching a little puppy not to piddle here and there, it's over and over and over until they learn it. And so with a personality disorder, it's very much deeper and more because it's a defense mechanism. So it's over and over and over until they begin to pick up on those skills. It's got to be consistent. It's got to be long-term. And it's a kind of accountability. A lot of the approaches prescribe and encourage group participation. And the thing I think that would be helpful in group participation, or if a personality disorder person has a group that's working with them, is that it would be an opportunity where you're going around the room, people are sharing, and if a person has like a histrionic personality disorder, you can say, the limit here is 60 seconds. You had your 60 seconds. Now it's time for you to be quiet. And I want you to listen to the next person. Another thing you can do is to teach empathy. So that would be the reality tech.
Sure.
There are other realities in the room. I want you to listen. The other thing about empathy would be when Charlie speaks, Dan, I'm going to ask you some questions about what was important about what Charlie said and how did Charlie feel about that. So you're teaching the person to hear another person's reality and try to put themselves in that place. So group participation could be good for that.
I would think that'd be key.
It's obviously important, very important. Now, for those who are going to help personality disorder people, here's what's required too.
Now, would this be primarily the spouse or somebody else?
Could be the spouse, the companion, could be the therapist.
Okay.
Patients. You must have patience. You yourself.
Four underlines on that.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to take a lot of patience because they don't see when they're starting out. They don't even see that your opinion is valid. They have. They are living in a detached reality. Patience. You need support.
Yourself.
You yourself.
Yeah.
You need a lot of support, yes, because you're doing a lot of work. There needs to be direction and order. There needs to be specific in direction, a game plan. And by this, I also want to refer to what I've talked about previously, an order of operation. In fact, I think I've posted an article at thechristiancounselorsforum.com talking about change, and it brings out this order of operation where you have to first have that person agree that you have an objective. And secondly, there needs to be change. And thirdly, what specific change? And fourthly, how are we going to make that specific change? So there's an order of operation. And then fourthly, you need personal protection, you know, and that could go along with support, but you need protection, not physical protection, maybe that too, but emotional protection. Mm-hmm. And there's a question too that I didn't hit that I want to kind of bring up here, Mark, and that is, well, how do you get a person with a personality disorder to recognize that they've got a problem that needs to be worked on, that they should go to? Because, you know, people come to me that have personality disorders. They didn't come because they had a personality disorder. They came because everybody else had a personality disorder. So how do you get that person, you know, to realize that
it's
I've got
you.
The problem?
What's
you know?
The common denominator in all this problem? Yeah. It's you, man.
And that's a difficult part. And that's a very difficult part. I'd say that is probably fundamentally the difficult part. A couple of thoughts that came to mind were possibly an intervention, almost like you do with an alcoholic, where people surround and they say, you know, this is why, you know, we all agree to this. Would you be willing to work with us? And would you be willing to get help? You know, if we, you know, and there'd have to be a very loving environment. These would have to be people that they feel, you know, you're not just tossing me, so you're really trying to help me. So that would be one. And then the other thing is that people have to hit bottom. But, some of these personality disorders, you never hit bottom because in some ways it's even worse than an alcohol or drug addiction because, you know, a lot of times it's not costing you money or it's, you know, it's
just a spinning top.
So anyway, hopefully that's can be helpful. I think at least it helps people understand that maybe I'm dealing with that or maybe.
And the objective, again, with a person who's you're trying to teach empathy, shared reality and boundary awareness with these folks. Mm-hmm. And it can be done. It is difficult. And again, we said, you know, big underlying patience, but people can change with the Lord.
Yeah, by the grace of God, we can.
Yeah. And maybe some help from Daniel Pryor as well. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Phone number is 425-778-6169. That's 778-6169. And they can also email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
You can also listen to past programs of the Sound Mind broadcast at BibleBasedCounselor.com. Always great stuff with Daniel Pryor here on Sound Mind on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.